today on Real Radio.
Let God work. You want to know why? Coronavirus or not? If you're trusting Jesus Christ, you're going to heaven.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack begins a new series called My Dear Church, I've Written You a Letter, beginning with the church at Ephesus with a message called My Dear Ephesus, I've Written You a Letter. Jesus singles out actual churches in Asia Minor, which, by the way, is also known as modern-day Turkey. His intention was to deliver a timeless message to every believer in every church by challenging us to examine our own hearts during these uncertain and often very difficult times. Many are confused over what's happening today. Some say it's God's judgment upon the earth, while others simply call it a process of evolution. But one thing is absolutely sure. God is speaking to the world, and we need to listen to Him. So today on day three of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that love cannot survive alone. It's why we must not compromise when it comes to our faith or get distracted from keeping God very first in our lives. His love for us will not allow it, and He will do whatever it takes to bring us to repentance. And now in his message called My Dear Ephesus, I've Written You a Letter, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
At a time like this, church, all around the world, is it possible that God is using this virus to get us to just simply have distractions removed from us? How long will it last? Nobody knows. What if God were to say that I'm the judge of all the earth, and I'm calling out not to the unbeliever, but to the believer, and I'm calling out to say to you, you've left your first love. There was a day when you were crazy about me. You wouldn't stop talking about me. You read everything about me. You would sit and you would read the Gospels. You would read my scriptures. You would start in Genesis and you would end in the book of Revelation. And you were in love with me. And you sang in your crazy, silly little voice. You would sing to me songs. You would walk or do whatever you were doing. And you would pause and say, thank you, Jesus, for just being mine. When was the last time? Is that love for Jesus fierce? It can be again. It needs to be. It better get fierce again. That's what he's saying to us. Is it fierce? Is it jealous for him? You know, God's jealous for us. His love is jealous for us in a very powerful way. And then the word first, left your first, as here, first love. Listen to this. You're going to recognize this immediately. First is the word protos. In Greek, it's where we get the word prototype. It means the first, the best, the one. The one. There is, listen, I'll keep this surface level because there may be young ears in the audience. But this word left your first love, the word in a common sense would mean you slipped away from the one that you gave yourself away to first. Who was it that had you first? Who was it that you gave yourself to first? All of the emotions were there. All of the passion. All of the commitment. And you gave yourself over fully, body, soul, and spirit, to be in love. And the Bible warns us here that we've left that first love. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 1. Jeremiah 2, 1 says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, go and cry into the hearing of Jerusalem. And say, thus says the Lord, I remember you. Wow. The kindness of your youth. This is the Lord speaking to Jerusalem. The love of your betrothal. The love of our engagement, God is saying. When you went after me in the wilderness in a land not sown. What does that mean, land not sown? When you were so crazy in love with me, you pursued me. You would follow me anywhere. And you would, listen, you and I would meet in places that were far removed from everything else just to be alone with each other. What a beautiful but painful cry that God laments. Love cannot survive alone. And Christian, I speak to us. We need to love Him now more than ever. We need to check our hearts. On this, the first step of seven visits of the seven churches, we need to start with, where God starts, and he says, you've left your first love. In this hour of mercy, this hour of divine opportunity, still some are being distracted, even now. And God is saying to you, he's shouting to you to turn to him, to turn back to him. We're so easily distracted. I'm preaching and I'm teaching the very elements of this nature where there's nobody here. I don't like it, you don't like it. We want to get together. But there's a preaching aspect of this rather than the teaching, though teaching is going on. I like the classroom setting, but the temptation to be distracted is brutal. That's the number one thing I was in trouble in going to school all my life. Every year, my parents would get a note from my teachers, Jack keeps looking out the window. Jack is easily distracted. And I remember in the sixth grade, Miss Dobson took my chair, my table, and took it out away from all the other students and put my back to the window. And you know what that did to me? Absolutely nothing. I just kept looking over my shoulder until I got in big trouble. Those of us who are easily distracted wind up getting in big trouble. We need to focus again on our love, to stare at Jesus in our love. And then he says to remember. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Remember. When was it that you were crazy about Jesus without apology? Go back there. Remember what you were doing. Remember where that was and when that was. And do those things again. And doing those things again implies repentance. We need to repent, and here's the word. Do you remember earlier in the opening I said, many pastors around the world are teaching sermons today about hope and about peace and about encouragement? With all due respect, you can't hear a message of hope. I'm only talking to the Christian right now. You can't hear a message of hope. You cannot hear a message of peace. You cannot hear a message of encouragement, according to Jesus, until you repent. This is the first word. This is the word that the gospel begins with. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Repentance, metanoia, change your mind. And that applies even to the believer to get back. He says, or else I will come quickly and remove your candlestick, your light, your illumination from its place unless you repent. I don't have much time. I have to hurry, but I don't want to miss this profound bit of history. In the history of England, in the 1600s specifically, there was what was known as the Great Ejection. It was the systematic silencing of the pastors who refused to nationalize their churches under the king. 2,000 English pastors were silenced. They were the most effective, passionate Bible-teaching pastors. They were, listen, I'm not kidding. Listen up, everybody. They were ordered by the realm, by the king, by the crown, listen, to, and I quote, shut up, close quote, to shut up. A 16th century term meaning to shut the mouth. It means to board it up. It means to cease the words or to stop speaking that. The crown of England said to 2,000 English pastors, shut up about the gospel. Stop preaching the Bible. One of those precursors to those wonderful leaders was a man by the name of William Tyndale. You may have a Bible that is published by Tyndale. And it bears his name. That's William Tyndale, 1536, in London, England. Listen to this. He said, I call God to record against the day we shall appear before our Lord Jesus, that I never altered one syllable of God's word against my conscience, nor would do this day. If all that is in earth, whether it be honor, pleasure, or riches, might be given to me. Today, more than ever, the church and the Christian must not compromise because our love for God would not allow it. And those 2,000 English pastors were shut up from public speaking by order of the realm. And I'm going to give you one guess as to what those 2,000 pastors did. Did they shut up? Did they have their mouths boarded up? Not one moment. The edict was decreed. They preached anyway. Some of them were driven out of the church, so they preached in the streets. They preached in the open air. They preached in the fields. And they called people back to repentance. And they preached against a godless nation and a godless king. We need to go back and do our first works. When we were reckless with our own lives and we didn't care what people thought and we weren't swayed by opinions and we didn't fear even death because Jesus, that life and love that he has given us is stronger than the grave. It's more powerful than the arm. And so we need to repent. Oh, and by the way, historians and sociologists tell us that from the time of the Great Ejection, the realm of England just descended down, down, down. It went from one plague after the next. What? Listen, plague. And one economic failure after the next, to the losing of one battle after the next, until the crown of England, which once spanned the world, began to diminish. England went after its pastors. England silenced its preaching. And but for a few candles that were blowing in that wind, the likes of which George Whitefield and Charles Spurgeon, for a moment there was a flicker of light. But England has to this day continued to decline. And today, by and large, the churches of England are empty. But there's a remnant that's not silent. The building may be empty, but God is awakening his people in England. And he's awakening his people in Spain. And right now, God is awakening his people in Iran. And then fifth and finally, we end. My dear Ephesus, I've written you this letter. So let what I'm working on be done. Just let me go to work. God, let me work should be our prayer because God wants to work in us. He says in verses 6 and 7, but this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Those are the religious leaders who flex their spiritual muscle, as it were, which is really carnal. They lorded their authority over people. They controlled people. Nico the people, or the lords, and laity are the people. Nicolaitans is the lords over the people. And Jesus says, I hate that. Isn't that awesome? Doesn't that give you it gives me a rush. First of all, I've never assumed any authority whatsoever. And by God's grace, I'll be the last one to receive any authority if he gives me any very well. But there are those who love it. They've got to have it. Their name's got to be out front. They've got to have all of these things behind their name. They've got to have that seat. They've got to have that thing. They've got to have that recognition. And they've got to have that area of respectability. And my name means everything. I'm very, very proud of my reputation. Oh, God says, stick it in your ear. God says, get over yourself. You're a legend in your own mind and only your mind, so forget about it. You need to repent. You need to love God first because we don't have a reputation. We are nobodies without him. And God says, I hate those that rule over people like that. Verse 7, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. And to him who overcomes, I will give to eat of the tree of life. That's awesome. And in the midst of the paradise of God. Let God work. You want to know why? Coronavirus or not? If you're trusting Jesus Christ, you're going to heaven. Did you know that? Hey, listen, I'm going to end right here with some verses. Get ready. Going to be a bunch of them. Going to go fast. But I want to give you these. And this is your homework for the rest of the week. Before I do, I want you to know, if you don't know this, this thing's gone on long enough now. A lot of research. Around the clock, and this weekend, the news, even this morning, scientists are arguing with each other now. Well, this is how you can contract it. This is how you are safe from it. This is what it is. This is what it isn't. This is what it will do to you. This is what it will not do to you. This is who it attacks and this is who it doesn't attack. This is when it started. No, this is when it started. All conflicting. And there's some scientist, forgive me, I forget where, but it's a big deal. It's a big place. He said that at the current analysis of the flu season for 2019 and 2020, the winter, it's not exceptional. You say, what are you talking about? We're hiding in our houses. I'm just telling you that they are now debating how long this thing has been with us. I'm going to confess something to you. I had the worst flu I ever had in my life in December, near Christmas time. 4 days, huge fever, out of my mind fever, slight dry cough, body aches, worst flu I've had in 20 years. There's no way for me to be tested to see if I had coronavirus. But the more and more people I talk to, they say the exact same thing. It just so happens that all the symptoms I had are all the symptoms that are being published right now on the web. What's my point? My point is this, God's got this. No matter what people say, they don't know what they're talking about. You and I have been tempted to worry by the word of man rather than staying calm upon the word of God. So get ready, because here comes your anti-corona device prescription. Joshua chapter 1, beginning of verse 6. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as inheritance the land which I swore to your fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. In other words, keep yourself in the word, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, and you shall observe to do according to all that is written in it. All that is written in it. I've written you a letter, Chino Hills. I've written you a letter, Chicago. I've written a letter to you, Frankfurt. I've written it that you may make your way prosperous and that you may have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid, do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Next, Deuteronomy 31:6. Deuteronomy 31:6, Jesus' favorite book. He quoted more Deuteronomy than any other book of the Bible. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear. Do not be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Isaiah 43, verse 2. We're almost done. But when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall any flame scorch you. You say, Jack, this doesn't exactly apply to the virus. Yeah, it does perfectly. Because for the Christian, even if it takes our life, it can't take our life. Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. John 16, 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have difficulty or tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Isaiah 41, 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. Don't be undone. For I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will uphold you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand, says God. Final passage, 1 John 5, beginning in verse 11. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. Listen now. And he who does not have the Son does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. In the name of the Son of God. Do you know his name? That you may know that you are, that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the only Son of God, or the definite article, Son of God. It means there's not another one coming. My dear friend, as we end right now, I want you to pray with me in closing. No matter who you might be, believer, unbeliever, listen up. We're going to pray right now, and you can own this prayer or you can reject it. But at this hour, before you can have his hope as a person, church, or nation, before we can have his peace, before we can have his encouragement, we must repent as a people, as a church, and as a nation. Repentance means that we are brutally sorry to God for what we've done in our lying, in our sin. Let's pray. Let's just quiet down in our homes. Let's quiet our hearts. Kids, bow your heads. Mom and dad, bow your head. Young married couple, bow your head. Hardened, stiff-necked atheist, why are you listening right now? Because God wants you to bow your head and own this. Dear Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I come to you by the authority of the Son of God. And I ask you, Father, to hear my confession that I receive this letter written to me. And I want to confess to you, God, that I've left my first love. I've had so many other things pull me away. Money, sex, demands, pressure, tension, sports, fashion, pleasure. I've been distracted. You have been somewhere, Jesus, on a list of mine. And you've cleared my calendar now, Almighty God. And I find myself this morning only with Jesus. My family may be with me right now, or my friends, or I might be alone in this room. But the fact of the matter is, I do find myself now calling out to Jesus, considering Jesus. And my friend, I pray that you would pray to accept Christ. If you're not a believer today, that you'd say, Christ, I believe you died for me on the cross, rose again from the dead, as the Bible says. I don't understand it all, but I believe your word. My heart's being pricked and prompted to believe you. And God, I just open up my life to you, and I pray that you'd come in and do whatever you do when you save someone, because I'm receiving you now. And I understand this prayer doesn't do magic upon me. I'm just telling you, God, that right now, according to John chapter 1, verse 12, I'm receiving you. And to the believers, all of us, we rededicate our lives to you, Lord, in this quiet hour, in the silence of this moment. I recommit my love. I ask you, Almighty God, restoke the flames of first love passion in my heart for you. Oh God, prompt us to meet you early in the morning and to talk to you upon our pillow at night. Lord, we renew now the conversation of the day being wrapped around you. We give you these things. We pray, Almighty God, for the healing of our nations. We ask it in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in his message called My Dear Ephesus, I've written you a letter. Thanks for listening today. And our hope is that as 2021 continues, it'll turn out to be a year full of peace for you and joy that's only possible when you've made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. Would you consider coming to Him today? My Dear Ephesus, I've written you a letter. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called My Dear Church. It's a timeless series from the book of Revelation that takes us through the seven letters to the seven churches and what God wants to say to the church today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.